So tonight I am going to talk about the ecclesia, the church. This is a very heavy topic on my heart. It has to do with one of the weights that on the flag that the eagle was carrying, and this is something that we need to address and we need to pray into, and we need to recognize where God is transitioning us in this hour. So turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your presence. Come and be our teacher, our guide. Settle things around us so we can focus on what you have for us. And help us, O Lord, to step into the place you are calling us into in the days ahead. I thank you, Father God, for the promises. I thank you for the praise reports. I thank you that you speak to us and you continue to speak to us. And Lord God, we are seeing the fruit of our prayers. I thank you that you can lift up our faith even more as we cling to you and the promises you have, and we pray into your holy will to be done here in earth. We see, O God, those promises coming, and how exciting that is. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you. In your precious name, amen. So I've spoken on faith. I've spoken on some things that the Lord has shown me are coming that we need to prepare for, some things that the Lord is wanting us to push back. And, you know, a key component of the days ahead is the church. And we prayed over the church last night, and I'll be praying over the church again tonight. But when I was pondering this and asking the Lord, what would you like me to say? You know, I knew where the Lord is calling us to rise up, but what would you like me to say? And I was just putting this question at his feet. And Tuesday morning, he woke me up fairly early. And this was the question. What is the church? And when the Lord wakes me up like that, it's like an alarm clock going off. If I hear it, his voice is very clear. And I was startled awake, and I said the ecclesia, the ecclesia, those called out of the world and up to you. And one thing that my mom has said many times is usually when the Lord asks a question, he really doesn't expect you to answer. He's really wanting you to go more into listening mode. Apparently, I didn't pick that up yet. Again, he asked, what is the church? And I said, your body. He said, and yes, what has it been? And so I pondered this. as I gather my coffee and envision the church as I've known in the last several decades, my heart quickly became heavy. And it was heavier and heavier. Now, before I share any of this, some of the things the Lord put on my heart, this is not a condemnation of the church, of pastors. This is a calling up and out. And so I want you to know that. We have pastors that are partners with us. We have pastors that lead us in prayer. You know, Pastor John Chin. We have Pastor Matthew. We have Pastor Will. We have, you know, pastors with us that are vital to the work that we do. And so this is not, you know, even Franklin, he leads prayer on Wednesdays. He's with us and on Sundays even. And he is, Bernard, he's a pastor as well. And so these are pastors that we love and respect. And so this is not an attack on pastors. And I want you to know that. This isn't an attack on the church. I want you to know that. But it's a calling up and out that the Lord is wanting his body to move into. So as I got my coffee and my heavy heart and went to prayer, I had a vision of one of those, you know, those crane or those claw machines that kids play in the stores. I actually see like adults playing them, but they're usually kind of where the shopping carts are. And it's this claw, and you put money in, you move the crane around, and you grab a toy, and you drag it over, and you drop it into the collection bin. And then you can, you know, stick your hand in there and get it. And rarely, I mean, most of the toys in there have dust on them because it's rarely a successful grab. But that's what I saw, except the opposite. We're called out of the world. So the claw brings us in, and then we lock ourselves in place, waiting for the claw to add to our numbers. We build inward, and then we look outside to the lost and to the dying, and we go back to our program. When COVID hit, and the churches shut their doors, we saw suicide rates start to increase. We saw attempted suicide increase significantly, especially in those between the ages of 18 and 45. Because when the pandemic came, and, you know, and initially people, you know, it's the apocalypse, it's here, and everybody went and got their toilet paper and their water and holed up in their homes, but day after day, and with the churches, doors closed, the light began to diminish. Hope. Deferred makes the heart sick. And so the result of that was a people without hope. Every time there's a lockdown, suicides would spike all over the world. John was talking about Twitter, but on Twitter, you would see people post, not another lockdown. I can't take another suicide. Haven't there been enough? And so I stand here even now just weeping over what the enemy has done and how we were not prepared for what would come. And I said to the Lord, I said, is this what we are? Are we in that machine? Are we in that glass or plexiglass machine? Stuck. And he said, the church age is introspective, and the kingdom age is extrospective. And so I'm going to explain that as we move on. I apologize for... So I went to the Word, as I always do. Ephesians 5:25-27 says, husbands, love your wives, even as the church also loved the church. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, often people look at this passage and they get stuck on the whole husband, love your wife thing, and, you know, and it's a great passage for marriage counseling. But husbands, love your wives. The two become one. And just as Christ loved the church, when we are called out of the world and up to God, we are becoming one with Christ. And we often forget that. We are becoming one with our Savior. Jesus prayed in John 17 for the disciples to become one, even as Christ and the Father are one. He said, and then let them become one. Let us all become one. This was the cry, that we would become one, one with each other, one with Christ, one with the Father. How much did Christ love the church? Enough to die for her, for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. To present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it that it should be holy and without blemish. So Christ gave himself for the church. Why? To sanctify it. To cleanse with the washing of the water of the word. We know by scripture that Christ is the word. And to present himself a glorious church. That word glorious church is endoxos ecclesia. Endoxos means engaged in glory, free from sin, with divine quality. It's the unspoken manifestation of God. Ecclesia is ek and kaleo. It's out from and up to call, to summon, to invite by name. We are a people, a royal priesthood, called out of the world and up to God by name. When he called you by name. He designated you to be part of His kingdom. It's your destiny to be part of His kingdom. And He calls you by name. Together, we are the body of Christ, the universal body of believers whom God calls out of the world and into His eternal kingdom. The minute we accept Christ as our Savior, we step out of this world and the kingdom of Satan and into the eternal kingdom of God. So what does that mean? He calls us out of our life of sin. And He puts us on the path for eternity with Him. And we as a people, we like our groups. We like our connections. And we like our church. I mean, my church here in Fresno, People's Church, my pastor, G.L. Johnson, that man was so anointed. He passed away several years ago. But, I mean, he prayed over me when I began teaching at the church. He prayed over Mom. It's the largest church in Fresno, but the most memorable moment I have with that pastor, too, is when he laid hands on me and prayed for me. The fire of God came on me so strong. I mean, my head was just sweating, honestly. But when he went down to his knees in front of thousands of people to cry out to God on behalf of the church. That was the most memorable moment because I thought that pastor loves his flock and his heart breaks to see his flock step into the fullness that God has for it. I love my church. I love pastors. But there is a place, a time, really, that we are entering into when we must step out of the church age, that building up and containing of ourselves, and release into kingdom work. A couple weeks ago, I shared about some dreams that I had about the economy and food shortages and such. And one of the things that I saw was the kingdom of God being used to meet needs. The kingdom of God. That's the kingdom age. That's when we look at the kingdom age, we're looking outside of ourselves. Outside of our buildings, that I can talk to people and ask them about their church, and they're going to tell me where the church address is. They're going to tell me what time that church meets, and they're going to tell me how long they've been going to that church, and they're going to give me the stats, really, like, you know, the stats of a football player or a baseball player or a basketball player or something like that. They'll just roll it all out. What do you learn there? Well, on Sundays, right now we're doing this series, What Do You Do There? How are you moving outside of your church? At my church, they have signs up at every exit, and it's a large church that occupies a city block. And so they have several exits on major streets. And it says, you are now entering the mission field. That's kingdom mindset. That's kingdom mindset. When I was 'in church one day, and we pray the Lord's Prayer. And so everyone rises, and we all say the Lord's Prayer together. And as we were praying, and you get to the point where you can say the Lord's Prayer, and you can say it by heart, and so you know, my mind wandered. Lord, forgive me. And I said, Lord, why do we do this every week? Why do we do this? And I heard it, it's not very long, so this had to happen pretty quickly. I heard the prayer go up with one voice. The Lord magnified the sound of the congregation. And the roof came off the church. And our voice, with one voice, didn't Jesus say, make them one as we are one? With one voice, that prayer shot up into heaven. I saw it take place. And I was actually in awe. And I said, so that we'll be one? And it's like he put a pin in that vision, in that experience. Fast forward to just a couple years ago, and we were teaching on Melchizedek. And I was reading through the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord opened up that vision, took me right back to it. And as I read through that passage, and as I was preparing for Melchizedek, I saw God's heavenly will pour down on earth. I saw it take place. I cannot tell you exactly what that looks like or describe it with my finite words, but it took place. His heavenly will poured down on earth. And I knew through the preparations and discussion with Mom that Melchizedek would grow the church up. And in that process, we would see the kingdom of heaven truly released in this earth. So when the Lord said to me several years ago, we are entering the kingdom age, prepare for it. He was saying to me, we are entering in and preparing for the release of the Melchizedek that will grow the church up so that it can finally come up to the head. Christ is the head, we are the body, and function as we have been designed, as the plan was put in place at the beginning of time, function as we were created to function with kingdom mindset, kingdom purpose, kingdom identity. This is what the Lord means when he says, we have entered the kingdom age. When we wake up, do we wake up with the kingdom of heaven on our mind? When we encounter people, do we release the kingdom of heaven into their lives? Or do we quickly drive into our garage, close our garage door, and shut the shades? When I go places, Pastor Shio came, and we drove out to a gleaning organization. And when he was here, I picked him up from the airport. Karen and I were in the car. We picked him up from the airport, and he passed by three people as he exited the airport. And he greeted them like he had sat with them on the plane and had a lengthy conversation. Now, he hadn't, because he got stuck there because his luggage got damaged. So he had to go back in and deal with the luggage situation. So he was delayed. So when he came out, he is talking to them like he knows them. Bless you. When Karen and I went with him, we took him to eat at a little barbecue place. And every person he encounters, he greets them as though they matter to him, as though their life matters to him. He blesses them. How are you? Yes, good. Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Bless you. He'll greet the children. He encounters them, and he releases the kingdom of heaven upon them. And this isn't just a one-time thing. I went to eat with him in D.C. I've gone to eat with him in Kansas. I went to eat with him and take him to the store. We went and got food. We went back to Mom's place in Seattle. Every time, he and Ode does the same thing. They encounter people and release the kingdom of heaven into their lives. When Ode travels, he sends text messages, and he tells me about the many people, from the person who served him at the restaurant to the flight attendant to the person who drove him around, who once was a Muslim, who once was a Catholic, who once was an atheist, who now has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because he encounters them and releases the kingdom of heaven into their lives. They have kingdom mindset. They do not live in the church age. They are already in the kingdom age because they are thinking about eternity, and every person that they meet, they know there's only two options at the end of this road: heaven and hell. And they will do everything they can to pour the kingdom of heaven onto your life so that you can, even in a few seconds, experience the light. When the lights were doused in 2020 and 2021, suicide rates spiked. In Canada, where they have assisted suicide, they went through their second lockdown. The elderly opted assisted suicide because they could not bear life in another lockdown where there was no light, there was no life, there was no family. They opted for medically assisted suicide. We carry the kingdom of heaven within us. Mom has said to us that the angel of reformation came in our first gathering. That means reformation is in process, breaking up the bedrock of the corruption on our nations to expose the root of what our nation was truly founded upon and set us free in that realm. But Melchizedek is being released. Why? To grow the church up so that no matter what we see in front of us, we are releasing the kingdom of heaven, and every person that encounters us encounters the light of the living God, the one that we are one with. He is the head. We are the body. We are his outstretched hands in the earth. That's the call. That's the commission. You want to know how you're supposed to behave? Read the Gospels. That's what Jesus did. They have the little bracelet. What would Jesus do? WWJD. Does anybody really abide by that? Do they really understand that what that means? That means when the leper comes up smelling of the worst smell you can, rotting flesh. And for as long as they've had leprosy, they have not been allowed to touch another individual. People run to the other side of the street rather than risk encountering them. But when the leper cries out and says, Jesus, Son, if thou wilt heal me, Jesus runs to the leper and he says, yes, I will. And he pours the kingdom of heaven into that man. And he is set free from isolation, from rejection, from abandonment. From the pain and agony of his own disease. Because Jesus, the Son of God, was more than willing to encounter him. He fed the masses. He raised the dead. He opened the blind eyes. He opened the deaf ears. He restored the dumb tongue. The lame walked. He walked on water. He calmed the sea. And he hung upon the cross and he died for you and me. That's the kingdom of heaven in action. So when the Lord says the church age is introspective, that means they're focused on building themselves, increasing their numbers and building themselves, and programs and encounters and such like that that occur in churches are not bad. I am not coming against them. I am saying, God is saying, it's time for us to mature, to grow up, and to enter the kingdom age and recognize the day and the time in which we live and follow the commission that he gave. Go ye unto all the earth, save the lost, heal the sick, minister the truth, encounter people with the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has hope. It thrusts us and moves us in our destiny. The kingdom of heaven is light. The kingdom of heaven is life, and it is hope to a lost and dying world. The kingdom age speaks truth to power, loves their people enough to bring correction as needed, teaches them about life in the womb, and helps those who need help. The kingdom of heaven oozes hope and life. We are in the kingdom age. Let us live our lives accordingly.